Greg Michopoulos, head writer with PredniknNation.com, joins us. First of all, Greg, welcome back. And let me just throw this out there. 9-game winning streak. How special is that?
9 times. Wow. I mean, what a performance for the Predators. And they're doing it in different ways. That's the thing, Johnny, is they're not just going out and just beating teams relentlessly, and they're not being tested. They are being challenged up and down, regardless of who they're facing. I mean, yeah, they had a couple of great games at home against the Sharks in St. Louis, and, of course, last night against Dallas. But they're facing adversity. They have Roman Josi out the last three games. Doesn't stop them at all. They go out, next guy up in the lineup, they go in there, they're earning their spots, making it very difficult for Laviolette down the stretch to see who's going to be in that lineup.
Pekka Rinne, would you trade any goalie in the NHL for Pekka right now if you had a chance?
Not in the least. He's the best goaltender in the NHL, bar none. They can argue Vasilevsky, but Vasilevsky apparently just came out today and said he's getting tired. Oh, it's the first time he's a number one goaltender. He's getting tired. Pekka Rinne is 35 years old, multiple-time Vezina Trophy finalist, and he's still putting up numbers comparable to him and still being up there with the Vezina Trophy conversation. So, no, he's the best goaltender in the league, and I'll argue that with anybody right now.
Well, not only the best goaltender in the league, you can make the argument best player, period, in the NHL as well.
Well, I would say that would be a little bit of a stretch only because you have a great backup goaltender in UC Soros who has very comparable numbers even to Pekka Rinne right now. But all across the league, you have to say if there's anybody that you want to win a game right now, Pekka Rinne is the guy you want in that crease.
As I was saying earlier, though, you know, it's great that, you know, in this recent run, David Poehl, the winningest GM in the history of the NHL, and it's great what Pekka is doing. You know, in the end, I'll trade all those things for a parade in June in downtown Nashville celebrating a Stanley Cup.
So long as they get the 16 wins starting in April, I think he'll be just fine with that. Give him 500 wins his whole career. I'm sure he'll take those 16 wins that matter come springtime. And it's a long time coming. This is, I think, without a doubt, his best opportunity as a general manager between his time in Nashville and Washington, to get that opportunity. I mean, this team is stacked up and down the lineup. When you have the type of luxury that Peter Laviolette has to keep giving guys rest here in March because you know your team will go in, out there and still win games for you, it's a great luxury to have when you got guys like especially the top four defense that are not playing 28, 29 minutes a night. They're playing more 22 to 24 minutes a night, and they're getting some rest. It puts you in a great spot come the playoffs.
Well, and here's the thing that's different, though, Greg, because remember last year the team really had to play hard and hustle down the stretch just to even get into the playoffs. This is an entirely different situation with 16 games remaining in the sense that you need to get the players and keep them fresh physically, but at the same time mentally sharp because once the playoff begins, you have to be able to flip that switch and you're not necessarily, I mean, Winnipeg right now 6 points behind the Predators. It would kind of help if Winnipeg stayed at least on the heels of the Predators in the sense of keep forcing the issue per se because, you know, mentally you kind of want to still feel like you're in playoff mode once the playoffs begin.
Well, that's the thing is that they can't just rest on their laurels because Winnipeg has played so well. I mean, think about it like this. Since mid-January, we're talking about almost a two-month period of time. At that point, Winnipeg was up 3 points on the Predators. Winnipeg in the last 20 games has won 14 of them, and they're 6 points behind the Predators despite being that good. That's how great this Predators team has been over the last few months in particular, when a team like Winnipeg just keeps going out there and winning the vast majority of their games, and they've lost ground, this much ground on the Predators, really tells you how special this team's come together.
You know, I threw it out yesterday. We were talking about this, and the situation is when you look at the playoff teams right now, say just from the Western Conference alone, the difference between the playoff teams and the Nashville Predators is if you look at the away record, and this is just why it shows you the importance this year, especially having that home ice advantage, because everybody, whether you're talking about Winnipeg or Vegas or Anaheim, Minnesota, whatever the case may be, they all play well at home. The difference is they're certainly not the same team like the Predators seem to be, whether they're playing at home in Bridgestone Arena or on the road.
Well, it's striking to me, too, because look at the Predators' road record. Yes, we all know that they play in what Barry Trotz would call the Coliseum there in Nashville, especially right now with the fan base, the way it's grown has gotten crazy. But they are 9-0-3 in their last 12 road games. I mean, and they're not playing cupcakes on the road either. I mean, we just saw them go up into Winnipeg and beat that team. They're beating hungry teams that need points, and they just keep going out there and go about their business like it's no big deal. They've lost one regulation game on the road since the turn of the calendar, if that tells you anything, and we're coming up on the second week of March. Just phenomenal job by this team at home on the road. Their home record is just as good as their road record, and I would even argue that when they have bad teams on home ice, they've played worse. They've lost one game in regulation all season at home to a playoff team. So this isn't cupcakes they're beating at home. They're constantly going out there and winning games at home against good teams.
What do you feel like is the pressing issue if you want to fine-tune and really get everything clicking on all cylinders leading into the playoffs? Give me one thing that you would like to see improved by the Predators.
It's really hard. You'd be nitpicking a little bit, but I think their penalty kill has struggled a little bit here as of late. They're not going against bad teams on the power play. Granted, obviously, teams like Winnipeg, guys like that have dangerous power plays. I mean, they just saw them against Dallas, shut down a Dallas team that has phenomenal top scorers out there. We can talk about Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, Alex Radulov, those types of players, and completely shut them out. I mean, there was not one point where I thought Dallas was going to come back and win that game just because of how well the Preds have played against them defensively. So, but the penalty kill is probably something I would like them to fine-tune a little bit. I'm not sure what exactly you would fine-tune. They're rotating a lot of good forwards in there. You have Ryan Hartman now going out there on the penalty kill. Mike Fisher obviously coming back on the penalty kill. So that should help out depth-wise.
As far as the latest on Roman Josi, do you expect him to be held out another game as far as with Anaheim tomorrow night before returning to the ice? What's your expectations?
I wouldn't be surprised if he's out against Anaheim. Anaheim is a very physical team. We're well-documented about how physical they are. They play on that line of dirty and physical. So it wouldn't be a bad idea to hold him out just one more game. Let Matt Irwin stay in there. He can't buy a break, Matt Irwin. He got tripped up three different times in his own zone and didn't draw a penalty out of it. But regardless of that, the Preds still don't need to rush him. If he's had a little nagging injury, let him hang out. You know, let him watch the game from the owner's booth, whatever you want to call it. But get him some rest if he needs it. He was playing fantastic before that. But right now, the team's not missing a beat.
Ryan Hartman, Mike Fisher, what have they meant so far being additions to this roster?
Well, obviously the energy boost that Mike Fisher brings. They talked about it when he debuted. Now you have a debut on home ice. He just brings a different mentality to the locker room. It's not to bash anything about the leadership group that's already in there with Roman Josi, Johansson, Forsberg, Ekholm, all that. But Fisher is just that one veteran presence you really want to win the cup for, if nothing else. Granted, David Poile and Laviolette were the ones that approached Fisher about it. He's 37 years old. It's just something that would be great for him to come back, win it, and then go off, sail off into the sunset, so to speak, to finally get that cup for him and for David Poile.
Greg Michopoulos joining us, head writer with PredictNation.com. Before we continue, let our listeners know what they can find when they go to PredictNation.com.
Absolutely. Well, you'll find his original articles from our team, and you're not going to find the usual coach speak, the usual just kind of stat lines and whatnot. You'll get strong opinions. We're not afraid. If you listen to the show, Prednik Nation Radio, we're not afraid to tell you how it is. As of right now, it's kind of hard to nitpick the Predators right now, winning nine straight games. If there are any issues, we'll be the first to tell you about it. We're not inclined to, kiss the corporate keister, so to speak, for the Predators. They don't sign our paychecks. So we go out there, we tell you exactly how it is. We give it details, we give good, strong opinions, but we base it off of facts.
Which team kind of reminds you of what the Nashville Predators were like last year at this point, especially in the Western Conference side?
I would have to say somebody like LA, who has the talent out there, but they play a physical brand of hockey. They're sitting there on the cusp of the playoffs. They're a dangerous team. I certainly don't want the Preds to be traveling back and forth on the West Coast that first round against the second wild card team. But they're a team that has that playoff pedigree that you watch out for. But the Predators, I think, overall, This is a team that is learning through their experiences. 2 years ago against San Jose, all of that travel back and forth, never having more than one day off, eventually wore them out. But it was an experience that they utilized last season, sneaking into the playoffs. But they weren't afraid to go on the road. You saw in three of the four rounds of the playoffs, they went out there and won game one on the road. It tells you what kind of mentality this team is after, regardless of whether starting at home or not. They're a team that nobody wants to face right now, especially the way they're playing.
You know, two things really stick out to me when you look at, you know, the potential playoff teams. Right now, Colorado would not be in, but they're right there on the heels of both the Kings and Dallas. Colorado is a team that plays extremely well at home, but they're below 500 on the road. And interestingly enough, you know, Minnesota team, outstanding at home, 24-5-6, but another team that's below 500 on the road.
Exactly. So those types of teams, they're not the ones that really worry me. It's the ones that do play better on the road that you have to watch out for. Minnesota, distinct home ice advantage with the crowd over there. The Colorado, whether it's the altitude, whatever you want to call it, a complete 180 this season compared to what they were last year. They were a historically bad team last season. Big turnaround this year, despite the issues that Joe Sakic had with Matt Duchene, finally getting him out of town. And it seems like Colorado in that locker room has got things straightened out. The fact that they're even competing for a playoff spot is really remarkable to watch. So good for them and good for the city of Denver.
Greg, if you had to project right now and predict the path as far as the Predators, if they do indeed make another run for a Stanley Cup appearance, what do you feel like that path will include as far as the opponents?
I think Dallas is, I would say, likely to be a first-round opponent, but there's so many teams that are jumbled up there. You're looking at Anaheim, San Jose, Dallas, L.A., and Colorado, all within 3 points of each other. A couple of those teams aren't going to make the playoffs, so it's going to be hard to figure out. It's going to go down to the wire who's going to be that first-round opponent. Second-round opponent, sure looks like right now it's going to be Winnipeg, because I don't see Minnesota going up into Winnipeg and winning any games up there. And then come the Western Conference Final, Vegas, and I said this a month or so ago, they're going to start slowing down. The pace that they play all season, you can't hold that up the entire way. We saw that happen in Minnesota last year, where they came out the first two-thirds of the season and lit the NHL on fire and then slumped down the stretch, cost themselves some playoffs positioning, and ended up being out in the first round again. So Vegas is not a team I'm really particularly worried about come playoff time. They've slumped big time here as of late.
Yeah, in fact, over the last 10 games, 5-4-1, so barely over 500. And, you know, it's been a special year, obviously, for Vegas, but there's still plenty of hockey remaining. And I really do wonder, I'm glad you brought them up, I wonder what they're going to look like after game number 82.
Well, that's the thing, is that they play such a fast physical game. Eventually, the body wears down. I mean, if everybody could play like that, for 82 games plus the playoffs, they would. But you see it throughout the stretch of the season. Some teams slump early on, October, November. Look at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was nowhere near the top of the Metropolitan Division the first couple months of the season. They were out of the playoffs. Even the first cup they won 2 years ago, by Christmas time, they were still not in the playoff position. So they turned it on late. So you got to pick your spots. In Vegas, I think, as of right now, yes, Gallant has done a phenomenal job with that team and really, you know, playing with them with a chip on their shoulder, so to speak, because they were not protected by their teams or they were acquired by Vegas for one reason or another, they had something to prove. The problem with that is that they've done it for far too long, and you can definitely tell is they've finally hit the skids a little bit. They're obviously a playoff team, but I don't think they're a danger in the Western Conference playoffs.
Is there one player or two that you would like to see get even more fine-tuned over these last 16 games by the Predators to be ready and rip-roaring to go once the first round opens up?
Be Philip Forsberg. He's been slumping as of late. He got a couple assists with Arvidsson on the road trip. Got the goal, obviously, the game-winning goal against Colorado with that sneaky shot from near the goal line.
That was special. That was so special, by the way.
Well, it was great because, as I told Charlie, is that he comes in and you don't think he's going to shoot it, particularly 3-on-3, and he just comes in. He realizes that Varlamov is in no man's land because he was out of his crease, and then he started going back towards his crease area again up against this post, but he didn't set himself up to block that shot. So Forsberg saw an opportunity and just wired one 5-hole on him. So, but he's one I really want to see get going. You could see the frustration on his face last night. He was absolutely robbed by Kari Lehtinen on that one-timer with the give-and-go with Johansson. You could see the frustration building, but Forsberg is one of those guys that he's not playing badly. He's just not capitalizing. It's not going up. We've seen it before. Eventually, though, those pucks start going in, and he'll score in bunches.
Are you ready for the playoffs, or are you just enjoying this and letting it play out as far as the regular season?
I've been ready for the playoffs since October, so it's it's been great to watch this team play as well as they have right now, really. And they hit a little bit of a lull early last month, where it just seemed like they were bored with the regular season. They were kind of done with it. I was like, all right, let's get the playoffs going. But Laviolette, again, has the feel of this team, pushes the right buttons, and here they are with a 9-game winning streak in the second week of March, extending their lead over the Western Conference to get that crucial home ice.
You know, other than the 5-5-2 start, they only had one other moment like that, and that was that stretch just before Christmas and the few games after Christmas. But other than the period you're talking about last month, I mean, there's really not much to be nitpicky about as far as this team, especially from a consistency standpoint.
And that's been the team's problem throughout the years with Laviolette, has been consistency, where they'll go through a good lull where they lose 4 out of 5, they'll lose 7 out of 9, those type stretches, and everybody goes nuts, especially early on in the season. It's like, guys, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. You got plenty of time to get things right. Even right now, you still got 20% of the season left.
I know.
So it's not exactly over. We still got a little ways to go yet to finish this off. But 6-point lead in the West, 6-point lead on Winnipeg. Should be exciting come down the stretch.
Remind the listeners again how they can keep up with all your coverage and your teammates' coverage as well of the Predators.
Absolutely. PredNickNation.com. You can follow us at PredNickNation on Twitter. Also on Facebook, give us a like there. Wheeler's leader, Crazy Charlie Sonnier, always has those shows going 5 a.m. local time. With your permission, of course, the replay is at 6 p.m. Brandon Felder, also a contributor. Obviously, Ultimate Predator with his promos, getting everybody excited about the game. So you can follow us for all the action. Like I said, strong opinions. If you want to come at us, we're not shy about it.
Love it. Hey, Greg, have a great night, great rest of the week, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Johnny, anytime. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, buddy.